This is a sporting discussion. We're talking sports of all sorts. I'm AJ Mithen, joined by Andrew Donison. Andrew, how are you?
I'm excited. I'm exasperated. I'm exactly as you'd expect me to be after watching AFLX.
Ugh. I was going to say it's good to be back after yet another dominant summer on Triple R Radio here in Melbourne, but you've extended.
Have I gone a little bit too early with one of our issues that we're talking about this week, AJ? Let's forget that and go, it's good to be here. It's good to be back, AJ.
You know what? Let's just get into it. No time to fluff around.
All right.
AFLX, Andrew.
I want to ask,
for excellent.
I want to ask you a question. Personally, what do you think AFLX is designed for?
It's not for me, and it's not for you, and it's not for, I dare say, 99% of the folks listening to this wonderful podcast. It's for the kids. The kids, and through those kids, your wallet.
Well, interesting you should say that. My theory, and this is why how it started, so not really my theory, but that, how it started is it's for international expansion. Everyone forgets that. Everyone is thinking now it's the T20, it's the Fast Four, it's the Fast Five.
It was before it was ridiculed in its first format where they played with clubs, the club sides played their teams. But now that they've given a franchise model a run out.
Yeah, but it's been ridiculed with new wacky
goal zones and passing zones. And if you mark it from this zone and they mark it in that zone and then they kick a goal is worth 20 points. That took a little bit of getting used to for a few of the folks in the crowd. And 23,000, more than a lot, you know, AFL just drags them in like a church, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But so let's go back to season one of AFLX. The AFL said, we want to expand internationally. They've tried with international rules. And it's the combination of Gaelic football and Aussie rules.
Yes.
And then,
that Gaelic football plus Aussie rules equals boredom.
But also they did genuinely about 5 years ago try to revamp the rules of that game to make it a game that could be played by anyone all around the world. It didn't work.
Yeah.
So then they went AFLX and they realised because there's no massive grounds, massive ovals like we've got here, everyone's got a soccer pitch, everyone's got a rugby pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that. AFL 7s and AFL 9s already exist.
Been doing that for years.
Yeah, as a social sport. It's wonderful. I've played it. It didn't translate in the first season. It was just fast movement, back and forward. It was amusing to watch.
But it also doesn't translate with a whole bunch of players who are signed for the AFL season and have no intention of exerting themselves to get injured, give themselves any chance of getting injured.
Bingo. Now, I'll come to that in about a minute.
Very well. Counting down.
When the four teams were created, were announced.
Yes.
Patrick Dangerfield.
The Bolt, the Rampage, the Deadly, and the Flyers.
Nat Fyfe and his Flyers.
No relation to the Bolts, the Flyers.
Okay, sure. But when that was announced, people, let's call them our age, let's call them cynics if you want.
Middle-aged people with opinions. The ones that matter.
Yeah. Said, why on earth are they doing these confected teams? Why don't they do a state of origin? Then I'd be interested. I call absolute shenanigans on that. The people
people
that are not interested.
I've never seen you so pink in the face.
The people that are not interested in AFLX as a concept,
they're never going to be.
Absolutely not be interested in it as
and if
state
they,
of origin.
If they made a state of origin AFLX, it'd be you're denigrating the great history of state of origin football.
But you know what would also happen? Players would pull out and players would not care.
Well, this happened anyway. Players pulled out, even though there was, 20-odd K on the line for the captains. Everyone was saying, oh, wasn't it wonderful that Flyers captain Nate Fyfe put off elbow surgery so he could play AFLX? It's because he wanted the cash.
50K for a captain, 10K for a
subordinate.
And $5,000 for each of the players.
Yeah.
Now,
you take your money. You'd be insane not to go into a glorified practice drill for 50 grand.
And you would know.
It was probably in total, he would have played maybe 40 minutes of football.
Probably, yeah, about that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he would have known, as would every other player that got drafted, that no one was going to be going hard. There was not going to be any big bumps.
There would have been an agreement.
Anything.
The hardest part, the most competitive part of that night was the rock, paper, scissors to see who started with the ball.
Yes. Yeah.
But look, we are sitting here pouring chaser all over this from above, but 23,000 people.
Yep.
500 odd thousand when on TV, 550 odd thousand when you combine free to air and pay TV.
Yep.
It's a foundation to build on. Obviously, yeah. The Silver Balls club-based experiment in season one of AFLX was a debacle, which is why we got what we got this time.
And kudos to the AFL for recognising that and moving on.
But like I said before, it's not about us. It's about either getting somewhere with a rectangular ground, which would have been maybe better played at Amy Park if it must have been in Melbourne.
Can we talk about that in a sec?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But it's for kids. Did you see anyone watching? I was watching Fargo season 3, if I'm honest.
But
I had to watch 5 minutes of it.
Okay.
Just so for this show.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for research purposes.
Yep.
And there's bubbles floating over the ground. There's beanbags around the outside part of the oval. There's a climbing wall where obviously you're not going to be watching much football if you are climbing the climbing wall. There was a bunch of
people behind the goals taking hangers as the ball was getting kicked for a goal.
Carnival atmosphere is how you want to put it.
Look, I'm all for it in terms of if they ever want to have a game where they get for the kids or they go for the international, go nuts. Try whatever you want. I'm not going to watch it, but I'm also not going to then get ridiculously outraged like a lot of people have.
We've had a few weeks off since we finished on Triple R, and the outrage machine has really ramped up in early 2019, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
AFLX, what is the Maori versus Indigenous NRL Rugby League All-Star Game. People didn't like that either.
Yes.
What else have we got? Cricket, Glenn Maxwell. We'll get to that later too. Cricket in general, we'll get to later. But so much outrage.
And a lot of, again, it's something that I've talked about a lot, is outrage or just also making assumptions based on one discrete event and extrapolating that out.
You hate that, don't you? So but that's the news cycle, man. That's 24/7.
Yeah. It's the Kevin 07 campaign. He knew about that he needed like a 5 second news grab, so he said, "On the topic of this, let me say this,
and then
get record."
Waited 30 seconds, and on the topic of that, let me say this.
Yes. Yeah. So people,
although as we said, short term that works. Long term, not so much.
Well, I was listening to Craig Hutchison and Damian Barrett on the Sounding Board podcast, and they were talking about the evolution of media and also the evolution of people watching and how they consume. And Craig was talking about the much smaller bites of news is what people want these days. They don't want long pieces. They just want a 10-second clip.
Well, remember, we've even thought about that ourselves. The very first episode of a sporting discussion was an hour and 20 minutes long, and we had 30 minutes in the can that we decided not to go with.
Yes.
But it's an interesting thing you've raised there, because some vodcasts, some things go for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. We'd like to get around 30 or a train trip from the outer suburbs to the CBD.
Yep.
But there's also Joe Rogan's podcast is 3 hours long, and it's one of the most popular podcasts out there.
Yeah.
Some of the baseball podcasts I listen to are nearly 2 hours long, and they're fantastic.
Do they go a lot into the like the statistics and analysis?
No, just covering a whole different range of topics. And one of my favourite ones is the Chicago White Sox one from a group called From the 108.
Okay.
And they booze on as they're going through. So when the podcast starts to when it finishes is markedly different, and it's very, very funny.
Well, there's a new, very, very new, very short cricket podcast. Dan Liebke and Kat Jones. What's that? Short Ball is their new cricket podcast. And 6 minutes is their cut-out
time. But that also,
time.
I mean, there's Daily Football Show podcast as well, which is less than half an hour every day.
Yeah.
Bite-sized stuff is what sells these days. And short videos are whenever something happens. Like today, when we were recording, what were we recording on a Thursday?
Yep.
Today the NRL announced that they would be standing down players who are charged with offences that have a penalty. This is going to take a little while. If a player is charged with something that has a penalty of 11 years or more in prison,
okay,
if that's on the line, that player can be stood down by the league from, CEO.
From now until their trial.
From the point until they're charged, until their trial. If that drags out and that's too long, I think they can review it, but I haven't read it all properly yet. Instantly, news grabs on the TV, things on the internet, fan sites like The Roar and all of that had stuff ready to go. But they're just also really short 30, 40, 50-second things saying, this is what I think about it. What do you think? Put it in the comments and off they go. That's probably something we should be looking at, to be honest.
Well, here's as you're saying that, though, isn't that how news bulletins have been forever?
Oh, yes. Like they've got but without the engagement. A lot of the time, and even now when they post their, say, your usual news segment in a half-hour news bulletin, you get, what, 15, 16 items. They range from a minute to 3 minutes. The big ones are usually about 3 minutes.
Yep.
But they post that online and they leave it there. They just say, here's what was on the news. They don't say, what do you think, blah, blah, blah. And everyone just comes on and, you know, puts their comment, whatever. They don't actively seek the engagement. It comes because it's the news.
But what I'm more thinking is that we've already had these short snippets of information about an event that's happened or something that's going to happen. So it's not actually as new as people may be sort of thinking that it is.
Like, well, a lot of it now is not, well, like we've been talking about, like what we do. What a lot of other people do is the reaction to it.
Yeah.
And from that, the news outlets create more news from that.
The Cane Corns effect.
The outraged tweets. That's why there's so many bad hot takes these days on radio and sports analysis shows, because they want that engagement. The metrics on the social media, as we say all along, a hate click is just as valuable as a love click. You don't have to read it. You just have to click on it.
AJ, there was a lot of press in recent times about an up-and-coming young basketballer in America playing college ball, I believe, for however many years they need to play. This is where I'm going to need you to come in because he was playing.
You refer to Zion Williamson.
That's the
next
one.
The next big thing in American basketball, world basketball.
Well, the current big thing is already the big thing. But
yeah, he's a monster. His highlights packages on YouTube and all the other sporting shows are just phenomenal to watch.
Oh, it is insane. And he will obviously go to the NBA. He will be drafted. But can you talk to me about there's a little bit of talk about why is he playing college ball? Why do they need to play high school and college before they can go to the NBA? And there's the one and done deal where people will just go to a college for 1 year to go to the NBA. Can you give a bit of context to that so that my rambling will be contextualized and then we can start talking properly?
Let me see this up. Zion Williamson, 18 years old, 6'7", 285 pounds. Yep. So that's 130 odd kegs, 2 meters tall. Athletic freak, basketball freak, does amazing things on the court. Now, he a bit more than a week ago was playing in a game against North Carolina.
Now, is he high school or college?
It's college. He plays for Duke.
Okay, thank you.
He plays for Duke, and I'll get to the one and done bit in a second.
All right.
They were playing a game against North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Sworn enemies, much hated, et cetera, et cetera. National television exposure on ESPN. Week and a bit of lead-in press about this game and analysis and hype. Tickets to the game, because Williamson was playing and because of the rivalry as well, because there's a lot of really good players in those teams who are going to be playing NBA next year for reasons I will explain in a moment.
Okay.
Tickets on scalping sites were reported to be going for $9,000.
Yes.
Australian.
Yep, I
6K,
heard that.
6K odd US. And in the first 30 seconds of the game, Williamson hustles for a rebound, plants his foot, and his foot blasts through the front of his Nike basketball shoe.
And it's important to say his Nike basketball shoes, not just his basketball shoes.
Okay, now there's the context. We're going to just stop the clock 30 seconds into this game.
All right.
Where his foot has blasted through his Nike shoe.
So are we going to...
Let's do a quick rewind noise, which we don't have, but we'll pretend there was one there.
That was good.
He's only playing college basketball because the NBA have a rule that you can't turn pro until you're 18.
Okay.
So what used to be the case was players would go to college for their full 4 years.
Yep.
They'd do 4 years in college and then graduate, if you want to call it, to the NBA.
And so be a 21-year-old first-year player.
Yeah. Yep. Now, same thing in football, baseball, all of that.
Yep.
Now, there's exceptions to it, like Kobe Bryant never went to college. LeBron James never went to college. They went straight to the NBA out of high school before this rule was.
Oh, okay, right. Yep.
Now, there was concerns from college, from the college system, the NCAA, that quality players weren't going to bother going to college. They just go straight to the NBA. There were concerns, and
that's an interesting point. Let's say that the college is focused more on the elite sports person and wanting to keep them. Okay, let's bookmark that.
Yep. So the deal was cut that they would basketballer can't go straight from high school to college because they're not usually the right age. I think it's 18, yep. Stand to be corrected. So what we are seeing. Is a whole bunch of the best players coming out of high school do 1 year in college, hit their eligibility to apply for the NBA draft, and they're gone.
Okay. And they do that in the full knowledge that that's what they're going to do. They call it their one and done year.
Ben Simmons did that. Yep. Ben Simmons spent 1 year at LSU, Louisiana State Uni, and was... You couldn't have been less interested in what was going on, but he was just there because he had to be there.
Okay.
Now, there's other... We've spoken before about the NBL putting aside a fund to attract players.
Yes, that's right.
Of one-and-done players who need to spend a year...
Somewhere
before yep. Before they're eligible for the NBA draft.
Because actually going to college is not of any interest to them. They don't care about their education.
There's also the whole learning thing that they got to do. Got to keep up your grades while you're a student athlete.
Yeah.
Not that they care. They don't care. Ben Simmons got pinged. I think he got suspended for one or two games because he was falling behind in his academic requirements.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he doesn't care. He didn't care. Zion Williamson wouldn't care either.
And that's where the NBL and other leagues around
European
the world,
leagues try to take
advantage of that.
Terrence Ferguson is probably the most notable one who played for the Adelaide 36ers for 1 year as a young'un, and he's now over in the NBA playing quite well. I think he's with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
So you've got Zion Williamson, and he has blown his shoe out, his Nike basketball shoe, which has caused him to have a little tweak of his knee.
He's had a small tweak of his knee. He left the game.
Yeah. He was 30 seconds in. 30 people seconds have paid 9,000 plus
Aussie dollars for a seat, allegedly.
and he's gone.
He's gone. Duke lose. Duke were warm favourites, and they lost.
Okay. Yes. And so now, by playing in a college game... That really is of no consequence to his NBA future because he's a star.
He's already shown that he is a star. Yeah. He is the star.
He has hurt his knee to a certain extent, whatever extent that may be. Now,
I think he's missed... They expected him to miss about 2 weeks, so he'll be back. So by the time you're listening to this podcast, dear listeners, he'll probably be back playing.
So he's lucky that he hasn't blown out his knee completely and done an ACL.
But it's the incident that happened at 30 seconds that has made... It's kind of drawn a line in the sand for a lot of people around the whole college athlete setup.
And it's around the money, isn't it?
Yeah. Williamson, a lot of NBA players were quite vocal in saying Williamson should just sit out the rest of the year and not play. Just sit out and look after yourself. A lot of the time college footballers, particularly quarterbacks and running backs, will sit out either a half season or a full season before they become eligible. They sit out because they don't want to get injured and affect their value.
Yeah, okay.
And it's a brutal sports market over there, as you know. Mm. So one injury to a footballer can tumble them 2-3 rounds in the draft, and that's millions of dollars.
Significant amount of dollars, yeah.
Yeah.
So with the dollars, let's stick on that for a moment. The players get paid nothing. The coaching staff get paid obscene amounts, don't they?
Yep. The whole NCAA, we'll talk about basketball.
Yeah.
Take this as the context for the wider college athlete system over in the States.
Yep.
It's a billion-dollar industry.
How?
Maybe a multi-billion-dollar industry because...
Would you really have expected when I was at Monash University and you were at Australian Catholic University that the Monash versus ACU football match
would attract 110,000 people?
110 people, let alone 110,000 people.
There's rallies before the game. It's because the scale, we've got no idea in Australia about the scale of college engagement in sport over there. Basically, the rite of passage in America is you wake up, you go to high school, you finish high school, you apply for a college, nine times out of ten, you move interstate to go to that college.
Yeah.
And entire towns are college towns. So everyone bonds over the college sports teams.
Yeah, okay.
And obviously math club and algebra club and all of those.
Well, like the chess club, like we were in at
naturally,
school.
Yeah, chess club for life. That's right. So there's all of these support there
but
for
where
you.
Where does the money come from?
It comes from the tickets. It comes from the merch. It comes from the broadcast rights. Broadcast rights for college sports are worth an absolute fortune because these are rivalries that have been going for over a century for their deep-seated hatred. Because they play in divisions, they see each other all the time. It's all, yeah. There's no concept. It's like your school sports carnival times 25 million.
Yeah. So with all of this,
yes.
It came out saying, well, why are these players risking themselves if they're not even getting paid and they're going to get heaps of money later and the coaches are getting all this money?
By exerting themselves now, they are literally putting millions of dollars at risk later.
So why aren't they paid? Is it just, I guess, because they're students and not professional athletes? Is it as simple as that?
It's their students. They're all on free scholarships. So their tuition is being paid for them. You know, tuition, lodge, incidentals, all that sort of thing is being paid for.
Okay.
So it's free ride, as they call it. So you wouldn't want for anything on campus.
Yeah,
but
right.
You don't have any money to buy yourself food, anything. There's no income unless you get another job, which is sympathetic to your training schedule. And because they do elite training schedules and travel and training and playing and all of that.
But then you've got, so you're bringing in, you and your teammates are bringing in all of this money, which is going to obviously better facilities. It's supporting you throughout your education, but
the facilities at certain colleges are better than you would find in some hospitals.
Yeah, right. Just because of the nature
of what
they can spend.
The money that's coming in.
So, all right, what do you think? Do you think that players should be able to be paid?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. If they're without them, there's no cash. Cash, there's none.
Yeah.
If the player doesn't get paid, I understand they get a free scholarship and all that sort of thing. But on top of that, they're not investing billions of dollars. The colleges aren't investing billions of millions of dollars into those scholarships.
Yeah.
They're just absorbing what's a couple of hundred grand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not school.
A
I don't
few
think
hundred grand. I don't want to undersell that, but yeah.
But I don't think they should get paid for playing school basketball or school football. But I think when you get to college, when we left school and we went to university, we could have played for our university team. We could have played for our local team. It's just another team. So is it? And if you were good enough, you got paid. If you were like me, you gave them a lot of money to stand in the goal square and not do a lot. But if you were good enough, you'd get paid. These people are at the same age,
yep.
The same stage of life. They've finished high school. They're into university
slash
college.
It's the second tier below the elite level.
Yeah. So
it's the New South Wales Cup. It's the Queensland Cup. It's the VFL. It's the SANFL equivalent. I mean, this is very rough and ready example.
Yeah, yeah.
But just to give it that tiered example, you've got NFL, college football, nothing, basically.
So why are they not getting paid?
Well, I think that's a good question.
Is it just because they never have?
It's just because they never have.
And everyone's accepted it.
They never have and it's been accepted. But this Williamson injury has led to a whole bunch of people questioning why aren't athletes being paid because they are responsible for bringing in all of this income.
Yeah.
Or why would you bother playing if you are a Zion Williamson type? So the next question is the one and done rule going to be repealed? And the NBA, Adam Silver, I think the commissioner is in discussions at the moment about what they're going to do about the one and done rule.
Because if Zion Williamson is the example, he might be the straw.
He's only the straw because he's so good.
Yeah.
Even if he'd done an ACL and he was gone for months, there's still a good chance he would have been drafted 1, 2, 3.
True, but people who are going to be drafted 25 or 30. Yeah,
they can't afford to
they
get
can't
it.
Afford that. And so is this going to then lead to people saying, I'm not even going to go and play at college. I'm going to let my high school record stand for me. I might drop back a round in the draft, but I'm not going to injure myself.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing. You're not going to injure yourself. So you'll go
That's not good for the development of the game.
Well, it's not good for the development of the player either. No. Going out to play in Australia, yeah, maybe. Going out to play in Europe, yeah, maybe. But sitting out, it's quite a dangerous game unless you've been assured by the powers that be at certain NBA clubs that, yeah, we got you.
Yeah,
don't
sure.
worry about it.
Or they could just drop the age by 12 months. Yeah. So we got a few, got some feedback on the Twitter box at ASD_radio. Ian Harkin, if NCAA athletes get paid, it should only be a minimal amount. If they're any good, they'll get millions in the coming years. Yes, but
99% of them aren't really good, though.
Yeah. More than just a game, tweeted saying, yep, cute and quaint that they're still amateur, but they're raking in zillions, so athletes deserve their share like other sports.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Andrew Furs, athletes should absolutely get paid. And Scott Pride, just a simple yes.
Now, on the other side of the fence,
mm.
Xavier Player contacted me. Now, we had Xavier, who's the alternate captain for the Aussie Para Roos. Para Ice Roos, the Aussie Para Ice Hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got all that out right.
Special guest on one of our summer shows.
Yes. Well, might post a link at some point when we get around to it. But anyway, he says students should not get paid. And among his reasoning is they're either receiving a free or heavily discounted education, often including housing and food. Those scholarships are often paid for by revenues the school bring in from the sport. So it's kind of a reinvesting not-for-profit arrangement, but it's for-profit. I know everyone's not Michael Jordan, but I also know that every Division I footballer gets a free education. That's worth more than money because it's not giving them a crippling debt for the rest of their life.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm.
But when...
And he's also said not every athlete is good enough to get paid.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Well, that's where
you have a salary cap or something.
Yeah, but also, I mean, like, you know, you versus me in senior football, there was no way that I was going to ever be paid to play the game, whereas you were a superstar on the television.
I was back in the day. I got paid. Well, yeah,
but it's the same.
Average student loan debt in the UK, in the US, pardon me, is $37,000. So,
yep.
I'd say pay them. You've got to pay them.
I think you do, merely because...
The people bringing in the cash need to get a share.
But also, it's the sport. They can't go and play for the Minnesota Buckingham Rogers teams. There is no other team that they can play for.
Their trade is restrained.
Ooh.
Which is an interesting way of looking at it, because I'm surprised, America being the litigious society it is, that no one's have a crack at that yet.
AJ, we love watching our sport on television, don't we?
We certainly do, otherwise we wouldn't be here.
And there are many ways that you can do it. The Foxtel was, a couple of years ago, the dominant way, but then a lot of other... in Australia...
You say dominant, but...
Yeah. Well, sorry. One of the only ways that you could outside of what was on free-to-air. But there are a lot of other things coming into the market now. So you've got the sporting codes themselves putting out videos and also streaming games on there. You can watch the BBL and WBBL matches via the Cricket Australia app. KO Sports has come in.
Mm-hmm.
And... to sort of counter that and to make sure that the sports that aren't Aussie rules, rugby league, the ones that get a truckload of dollars, the federal government gave $30 million to Foxtel, ostensibly to...
For women's and promotion of women's and niche sports was the quote.
Yeah. Yes. So it's still a little bit unclear as to what's happened with all of that, but... there is one lot of money which Fox Sports are threatening to withhold from the FFA.
Yeah, it's a strange one, because the recent announcement of the FFA expansion...
Because the A-League having how many more teams?
Two more teams. Yep. What's it called? Oh, geez, I forgot.
MacArthur
in Sydney and
Western United,
the Melbourne team are calling themselves. And that's
Western
where,
United?
That's where the problem is.
Where are they? Where are they based?
They're in the west of Melbourne. Not you'd know, because you can't tell immediately Western United, and that's Foxtel's issue, because part of their... influence, let's call it. I don't know if it's in the contract, so I won't say it is. Part of their influence over this decision was that the broadcaster wanted extra teams in Sydney and Melbourne, even though they are completely superfluous to what's there at the moment.
Well, so the Sydney Morning Herald reported this, and they said that they understand that Fox Sports is seeking to avoid paying a 9% increase of its broadcast deal in June 2021, despite being contractually obliged to contribute an additional $5 million if two new teams were introduced to the A-League from Sydney and Melbourne.
That clause would have been more than interesting to know about when everyone like Canberra was bothering to put a bid in.
Very, very, very much
we
so.
We knew it, but it had never been put that bluntly or that that clearly that it was Sydney and Melbourne or it was no one.
I hadn't really twigged on that. It's been a period of times gone since they announced it, so I forgot about the Canberra bid, et cetera.
I knew at the time, but I didn't realise it was so formalised. I thought it was just a heavy influence from the broadcaster saying it's Sydney and Melbourne are our markets, don't mess with it.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
Instead, divide it even more and put teams that are going to drain the talent pool and divide the audience.
Yeah. Well, what's now happening is that they, because of this Western United Football Club, and it's going to be
where
based
are they from? Western. They're from Western.
They're from Western. They do not have Melbourne in their name, and they are going to be temporarily at Geelong. They're eventually going to be in Tarneit, I think, and they'll be based in Wyndham, which is in West Melbourne.
I've played football out in Wyndham.
There you go.
It's a long way away. I hope it's a lot more developed than it was when I played out there.
So Fox is saying to the FFA that in not being associated by name with Melbourne, Western United cannot be viewed as a team from the Victorian capital, rather as a regional club. And so
it's cheeky, isn't it?
It's extremely cheeky. Yeah. If you had a loophole that you could exploit, wouldn't you? That was going to save you $5 million.
What was it? 9% of the deal. Yeah. $5 million bucks. Nothing. But I think they're quickly realizing that having an extra team in Sydney and Melbourne is maybe not the greatest move for the A-League.
Well, you look at let's go Sydney first. Sydney FC. They were entrenched. They were the first team.
Yep.
And then Western Sydney Wanderers came in and their first
year
was amazing.
They staked a claim for the West. Now,
they had an oval there that they used, or a pitch there that they used.
Yeah, an AFLX ground. Yeah, Western Sydney were also put together through community consultation. There's a lot of work around what do you want to call us, what are the colours going to be, not where will we play because there's not that many options. But they used to play at a Parramatta Stadium, and Parramatta Stadium's currently being replaced by a new 30,000 seat stadium.
Yep.
Name escapes me. It's a branded name now. I can't remember.
Wonderland,
yeah.
Wonderland.
But that's going to be phenomenal because the Parra Eels and a few other NRL teams are going to play. That's kind of like Amy Park in Melbourne, but over in Western Sydney.
Except people will go.
Because Western Sydney Wanderers have been in a trough for the last few years, and this year and last they've had to move around, play games on the GWS ground at Blacktown.
It makes it hard when you don't have a defined home ground.
Things will pick up for them again once they're able to move into that new stadium. But the point was they staked a claim to a location, and they identified a spot in the market that Sydney FC didn't have, because Sydney FC basically were sticking to the harbour, around those suburbs.
And then you compare that to Melbourne, and they had Melbourne Victory and Melbourne Heart. Now, Melbourne Heart should have come and said, we are Northern Melbourne or Southern Melbourne or something.
Or
Western Melbourne. But they didn't, and they've got minimal fans. They didn't get anyone really switching from Victory.
They get crowds
across
of 5,000.
Yeah. But,
and even though they've been bought out by Manchester City Consortium,
that's just added to people liking them.
And it's also added to the pressure because people aren't interested. And if Man City go, right, well, this is a big waste of our time, we're pulling the plug, it's gone. See ya.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's going to stand up and go, I'll stand up for this glorious club that everybody loves. They get crowds of 5,000.
So then you've got two new teams in already crowded marketplaces that are at least staking a claim to a region, an area. Now, surely if you were going to do this in Melbourne, it was Geelong. Geelong should have been the team.
Geelong's not in Melbourne though, is it?
Yeah, but neither's Tarneit.
Geelong is the biggest regional centre outside of Melbourne. It's the biggest city outside of Melbourne.
But if they wanted another Melbourne team. If they wanted another Victorian team, Geelong makes perfect sense.
But the thing is, a lot of things made perfect sense. Canberra made perfect sense.
Canberra made a lot of sense.
Canberra's bid was beautifully set up and ready to go. But you've touched on it. The problem was no one outside of Sydney or Melbourne really stood a chance of becoming, even Geelong didn't stand a chance of getting a nod because they weren't from Sydney or Melbourne.
So is that because there are more eyeballs in Sydney and Melbourne, so there's more opportunity for people to watch TV when their teams are
purely
playing?
It's purely market driven.
Okay.
Canberra's one segment of Western Melbourne's probably worth more in sponsorships and viewers than Canberra would be.
Yep. Yeah. So, all right. Well,
same as Geelong. I mean, no one's going to, if I'm in Perth, I'm not going to be like, yeah, I'm going to sit down and watch the Geelong A-League team.
No. God, no. So we touch on the teams that were close and didn't get in. We've touched on the Fox trying to be cheeky.
There's some leaked stories around the bidding process at the 11th hour when everyone was meeting with David Gallop and co.
Okay.
And the FFA to talk about their bids and that. And there were stories leaking out that bidders were being asked to up the amount of money that they were willing to spend or contribute. And either that was because the FFA had to make it worth their while, or they just thought, look, let's take the piss and try to squeeze as much cash as possible, or they knew Foxtel would withhold $5 million and they tried to cover it that way.
And then there was
this is all speculation.
It's all alleged wild speculation. But there were also other issues with some of the bids, such as, I don't know, Western United Football Club not actually having any agreements to have a home ground.
Yeah, they said they were going to play out of Geelong and they didn't actually have a deal with Gardenia Park Trust to play any games in Geelong.
They were given a licence.
I'm not sure if they still do. I think they've only come to an agreement of sorts.
Yeah, but they were given a licence and with no ground. They were just
amazing.
Outrageous. Yeah. But what would be
that's
good?
That's even more of a joke to people like Canberra and that. Because we keep talking about Canberra because we love Canberra.
Yeah.
I was born in Canberra. But
I was there for 12 years.
As a Mad Raider and Brumby and Capital and anything, Cavalry and anything Canberra. There was a lot riding on that A-League bid to do with a brand new stadium
facilities in the
city. Because Bruce Stadium out in the suburb of Bruce is an old bowl design. It's the old Australian Institute of Sport running track that was refitted and repurposed. It's wide open to the elements and it's bloody cold and rainy in Canberra quite a bit, or it's just stankin' hot.
Yep.
And if the major codes there have been arguing with the government to get a new stadium built, a 30,000-seater that has a roof and closer to the city and all that sort of thing, and getting that A-League bid approved probably would have resulted in that stadium being built. So that's why a lot of Canberra people are really pissed off about it all.
Well, could Canberra possibly be part of the FFA's first ever second division? So the FFA have got a second division group which are looking at how to set up this second division in professional Australian football.
That's promotion and relegation, which is Asian Confederation AFC says if you don't have promotion and relegation, you can't play Asian Champions League.
Okay.
We've been operating on a dispensation system so far. Okay. But there's also a FIFA rule. I think it's a rule that national leagues competitions have to be promotion and relegation, you know, for good of the game, share the wealth, all that sort of stuff. But it's something it's not new to Australian suburban leagues and amateur leagues, but we've never seen it before at a professional level in Australia.
And it will cost the A-League or FFA a significant amount because they will need to make sure.
Significant is understating how much that's going to cost.
Because Australia is so big.
Yeah.
The teams will need to fly around.
And the difference in facilities, budgets, available players is just going to be phenomenally different.
Yeah, you can't expect the Bentley Greens to be able to go and fly over to play the West Perth West Wests.
Dung Beetles.
Because they just don't have that.
They can't afford it. And the West Perth Dung Beetles can't afford to put them up or feed them or anything like that.
So it's early days.
Part of those FFA reforms that happened a little while back, new board, new decisions. One of them was going to be to kind of cut the A-League loose from FFA control and put it in the hands of owners, managers, all those sort of things in the league. Now, that's still at a testing phase, if you want to call it that. They're still looking at how the hell that's going to work, because a lot of the regulations and rules the FFA has for the A-League, a lot of the club owners think is holding it back around sponsors, and you can only have this and you can only have that.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, A-League teams, just to give a bit of context, A-League teams have only been allowed to pick their own jersey designs for the last, like, 3 or 4 years.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
Insanity. but I think that they're going in the right direction. I think that it's going to be a long time before they have a working second division promotion relegation.
To be honest, I'm expecting to be in a retirement home or in the dirt retirement home by the time that's done.
Right. Okay, well, let's put it out to our listeners. Do you want to see promotion relegation in the A-League? That's the first question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it will happen in the next 10 years?
Boom. That's the big question. Go to @ASD_radio on your Twitter or your facebook.com/asportingdiscussion. And we've got a group going there, which is going great guns at the moment. Good healthy debate in the Facebook group.
Yes, and including questions about Matthew Wade and Glenn Maxwell and whether they belong at international cricket level, which I always love getting involved because the answer is yes, they both do.
There's good frank discussion in the Facebook group and respectful.
Respectful, always respectful.
Always respectful. So jump on in and get into it.
Yes, and that, I think, AJ, will just about do us for this week of a sporting discussion.
That felt good. Do you feel the cobwebs out? Been a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Been a couple of weeks away. Now we got something good. We've got a few more interviews in the pipeline. Got some good stuff coming, actually, that we're not going to jinx by talking about right now.
No.
But stay tuned to those social media channels that I named just before.
@ASD_radio on Twitter, facebook.com. Search for A Sporting Discussion. Get there and tell us what you would like us to talk about. Do you think that Test cricket is dead? We put that out on the socials, and the response was basically anyone who actually likes cricket has never said that.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the panic merchants, the clickbait merchants that you were talking about earlier that have, and well, those people who don't really watch it.
It was a clickbaity question on our behalf.
Of course it was.
Yeah, that's the way you got to do business these days.
Well, where can people read you with your clickbaity article, AJ?
NRL season's coming back, thank God. So I'll be back on theraw.com.au Wednesdays and certain other points of time as well whenever something interesting happens. Got a few writing projects in the pipeline that, again, I won't jinx by bringing them up yet.
Very good.
But,
very good.
Yeah, looking forward. There's a few really exciting things that we've got going, Andrew, that are going to be all right. Now, I'm also still on the ABC Central Victoria.
Yes, 9:15
Monday mornings, doing sports wrap.
If you want to hear both of us give our contrasting views of the weekend sports, listen to me, 7:15 on Monday mornings on Triple R.
That's right.
And AJ at 9:15 on ABC Central Victoria.
Yeah, 2 hours apart and light years apart.
Yes.
All right, also, just quickly, we've also got the VoiceBite app where you can record an audio grab and get it to us, so we're not like we're doing today and reading out everyone's responses. We're doing that because we're just getting ourselves sorted.
Yep.
We're also going to – we use the text line on Triple R, and we're not going to use that for a podcast because that's just dumb, but we are going to investigate if you can use that text line to leave a voicemail message.
You are getting far too technical for me. I'm the Luddite that sits on the couch and wonders why my TV is not working.
I want to get into it too. That's because it's the aircon remote. We're going to look at a lot of things for a sporting discussion this year, folks. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, AJ.